What if everything you've been taught about morality is backwards? Consider the wealthy entrepreneur who donates millions to charity, praised as virtuous. Now consider the same person building a company that employs thousands and creates products millions voluntarily purchase. Which action truly serves humanity? Most of us would instinctively praise the first while viewing the second with suspicion. This instinct, according to a controversial philosophical argument, reveals how deeply we've internalized a moral framework that celebrates sacrifice over achievement, need over merit, and servitude over sovereignty. The radical claim at stake, altruism, long held as morality's crown jewel, actually represents its corruption, while selfishness, properly understood, offers the only rational foundation for human flourishing. Altruism isn't occasional kindness. It's a moral system demanding you place others' interests above your own as principle. Under this framework, only what requires someone else's sacrifice qualifies as legitimate need. What you achieve through personal effort becomes mere selfish desire. This creates a perverse hierarchy. The dentist, declining unfavorable terms, isn't exercising professional judgment. He's being selfish. The student demanding an unearned degree has a need, while the diligent student has desires. The less you've earned, the greater your moral claim on others. Though few Americans live like Mother Teresa, most accept that self-interest is morally inferior. Even billionaires derive more pride from philanthropy than from creating products billions voluntarily use. Altruism establishes a master-servant relationship where the needy command and the capable obey. Selfish simply means concern with one's own interests. Yet altruism's advocates have conflated it with harming others, making Attila the Hun the poster child. This creates a false choice: sacrifice yourself to others or sacrifice others to yourself. Genuine self-interest doesn't mean indulging every impulse. Drug addicts and criminals prove that following momentary desires often destroys us. Since humans lack automatic survival instincts, we must think to live. Our self-interest is achieved through rationality, determining which values genuinely benefit us rather than blindly following urges. The truly selfish person deals with others through persuasion and trade, not force. A predator like Attila is contemptible not for pursuing self-interest, but for wrongly believing plunder serves his interests. Consider Howard Roark from The Fountainhead, refusing to compromise his architectural vision despite poverty and rejection. That's authentic selfishness. Selfishness doesn't require indifference to others. Our self-interest encompasses spiritual values, including friendships and romance. We choose relationships because they embody values we treasure, not from charity. True love isn't selfless duty. It's an intensely personal, selfish choice, bringing profound joy. Altruism falsely claims selfishness needs no moral guidance, that principles like honesty exist only through self-sacrifice. Yet egoism makes moral principles absolutely necessary. Life has specific requirements, so do anything you wish isn't a success formula. Acting in self-interest means considering total consequences across your lifetime, not just immediate gratification. Integrating today with all your tomorrows requires long-term adherence to reality, which proper moral principles provide. The supposed clash between moral and practical concerns stems from altruism defining self-interest as evil. In rational egoism, both morality and practicality rest on the same standard: human life as a rational being. Under egoism, the good is determined by what objectively sustains human life. If you experience an irrational desire, rejecting it serves your self-interest. But altruism demands you accommodate your neighbor's irrational desires. Refusing would be selfish. Contemporary law enforces this. Obese aerobics instructors can't be rejected by health clubs. Doctors with addiction histories can't be questioned. A system converting wishes into entitlements makes conflict inevitable. Under egoism, there are no masters or servants, just one principle: each person's life is an end in itself. Those living by this code enjoy harmony of interests, viewing each other as potential values rather than potential leeches. Self-sacrifice contradicts self-interest, yet altruists obscure this through the vague notion of public interest, suggesting we all benefit from collective sacrifices. But examine this concept and it disintegrates. Why is a city park public interest while a shopping center isn't? Disney World serves 45 million visitors annually versus Yellowstone's 3 million. The critical difference isn't numbers, but how they benefit. Alms versus trade. Public interest projects are inherently non-commercial. Users don't bear full costs. Non-users do through taxation. In self-interested transactions, each person pays for what they value. Under the public interest standard, people finance what others value, breaking the link between payer and beneficiary. Altruists disdain trade because they interpret need as a lack remedied only through sacrifice. This collectivist premise pervades Social Security, which prohibits individual choice, and education through progressive theories prioritizing socialization over knowledge. John Dewey proclaimed schools should focus on social activities rather than academics, training children to conceive of himself from the standpoint of the welfare of the group. But rational thought is fundamentally individual. There's no collective thinking any more than collective breathing. The individual, not society, is primary. Two opposing views of government stem from different conceptions of human nature. The individualist approach sees humans as rational and productive, asking what system enables them to sustain their lives. The collectivist approach views humans as ineffectual and needy, asking what system allows society to care for them. The first leads to freedom, the second to the welfare state. When people are deemed incapable of self-sufficiency, they lose freedom to make their own decisions. The paternalistic mentality produces edicts against gambling, smoking, riding motorcycles without helmets, and buying liquor on Sundays. Programs like Social Security and public education don't just provide services, they prohibit alternatives, treating humans like children who cannot be trusted with rational decisions. While people recognize censorship harms both publishers and readers, many mistakenly believe economic regulations only restrict businesses while helping consumers. In reality, a free market represents uncoerced choices, where each party judges the exchange improves their life. Government intervention prevents both from obtaining what they believe would further their interests. In the welfare regulatory state, the individual becomes merely a means to society's ends. The FDA exemplifies this by evaluating drugs based on their effect on the population as a whole rather than on individuals who might benefit. Cancer drugs like Iressa and Avastin were withdrawn despite helping certain patients because they didn't benefit the collective. Collectivism requires cultivating dependency. People must be convinced they cannot manage their lives through their own judgment. Why choose between complete selfishness and complete altruism? Because in matters of principle, compromise is self-destructive. If someone proposed banning government criticism, the proper response isn't finding middle ground. That concedes the entire principle. A code of self-sacrifice cannot be practiced consistently, but a code of self-interest can and must. There's no escaping this either-or choice. Either we have a right to our own existence or we don't. The altruist sees only immediate facts. You have food while others don't, without considering how that food came to exist through production and effort. Altruism takes a short-sighted approach appropriate for animals, while egoism adopts the broad, conceptual approach appropriate for humans. If you want an existence of meaning, challenge traditional dogmas. Don't describe beneficial values as sacrifice. Don't label the irrational as selfish. Don't confuse love with self-sacrifice. And don't equate benevolence with altruism. Above all, don't justify your actions as benefiting society. Your life is an end in itself, not a means to society's ends, not a resource to be distributed, not a debt to be repaid. Every moment you spend pursuing genuine happiness is the essence of what it means to be human.